This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we go behind the scenes of Thing, an event coming to Port Townsend that's unlike anything you've ever experienced before. And now, we go inside the Compass. What is this thing called Thing? Is it a concert, a festival, or what? Producers John LaBelle and Adam Sachs sat down with KPTZ's Charlie Burmant to talk about the event coming to Port Townsend on August 24th and 25th.
What is Thing and why is it here?
I'll start with the why it's here. This is Adam. I knew about Fort Worden as a kid and Port Townsend coming up here on field trips. I grew up in Olympia. So I was aware of it, but then as an adult, I came back here maybe 10 years ago and just fell in love with the site, and the sparks started flying in my brain about all the unique possibilities that Fort Worden presented for a festival type event. But at the time, I was busy producing the Sasquatch Festival over at the Gorge, which was a year-round effort, and so there wasn't time to really think about executing on it. So as Sasquatch started to wind down, last year was the final year of that event, it became more realistic to try and do it now. And Seattle Theater Group, who I've been working for the past 11 years now, has a relationship with Fort Worden, presenting a dance camp called Dance This every summer in coordination with Centrum. And so there was a nice existing relationship there, and Josh could maybe speak to that a little more.
Yeah, so Josh, why is Fort Worden a good place to put on an event?
Well, you know, sort of building on what Adam says, Fort Worden is one of our state's most historic parks. It's an extraordinary place that, as Adam mentioned, we started working at about 10 years ago in producing the Dance This camp in partnership with Centrum. And all of us fell in love with it. Our nonprofit, Seattle Theater Group, is very much focused. Part of our mission is caring for historic theaters. When we started talking about outdoor arts, we clearly started thinking about where are those historic places? And can we as an organization move from historic theaters to historic places in terms of our mission? And thankfully, we've got a staff and a board that leaned into this and embraced it. And we love Fort Worden. We love the Port Townsend community. We think it is one of the more forward arts communities out there. So this felt like a perfect place, Fort Worden and Port Townsend itself, to launch a new outdoor arts event called Thing.
So did you design the, I guess, call it curriculum of Thing, the lineup and so on, to fit Fort Worden's resources?
I think we have. You know, and Adam is really leading the artistic charge of this, has been really working closely with the Fort Worden staff in making sure that structurally what we're going to be delivering on these three stages is possible. I think it's also important for people in Port Townsend and wherever you may be listening to also acknowledge that Fort Worden as a state park has been recently receiving, you know, great influx of funds from our state, from the Heritage Capital Fund, to help improve the site and make more things possible. This felt like a real interesting opportunity given what's been happening at Fort Worden.
Okay, so since we're talking to a local audience here, tell me where the three stages are going to be. I'm guessing McCurdy is one of them.
Yeah. So we're mainly using the portion of the site that stretches from McCurdy Pavilion through the parade grounds. So that, to think of that as one giant rectangle. So we'll utilize the inside of McCurdy, the 1,200 seats in there, and then the big doors will open and the stage will point out into the field. So that's sort of two stages within McCurdy itself.
So you can have simultaneous stuff on each stage?
Not simultaneous, but back-to-back, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that outdoor configuration is what we did when we produced the Modest Mouse concerts out there last summer. And that proved to be a pretty good setup. So there'll be a large stage there outdoors, and then at the end of the parade grounds, there'll be an equally large stage over there. And then we're also going to utilize the Wheeler Theater kind of in the middle of the site.
So last year's Modest Mouse concert, was that kind of, did you have this thing in your brain when you were testing that out last year?
Yeah, exactly. So one of the members of Modest Mouse lives out here, and he had been keen to do something at Fort Worden for a long, long time. And so Fort Worden connected them with us because we had a mutual interest in doing an event there. And I saw great value in learning what we could by producing a show on the site and prove out some of our assumptions with traffic and parking, most importantly.
Okay, so I think we're kind of getting ahead. The first question I asked is, what is this thing? Could you define it?
Yeah.
And then maybe the second part of that question is, how was the lineup chosen?
But
first of all, what is it?
Well, we struggle with even using the word festival and wanted to avoid it, mainly because festival, for a lot of people anyway, carries a lot of baggage, and there's an assumption of what it is before you even come out of the gates when you use the word festival. So it's omitted from any of the marketing, but of course it's what it is. It's a festival. The name Thing comes from a medieval term, ting. And a ting, this is something I learned somewhat recently, a couple years ago. A ting is a gathering of tribes with the purpose of reducing tribal feuds, right, coming together. And I thought, well, that really speaks to our times, and this is something I could put some energy into. And I like that Thing was kind of ambiguous. It was also related to the mythical beast of Sasquatch, like, you know, this new thing. I could refer to it as a thing before we even announced the event. People said, what are you working on? I said, we have a new thing. Of course, no one knew that's what it would be called at the time.
Well, the possibilities are endless for puns and, you
know, yeah. It felt right, so we went with that name. And in the curation of the lineup, of course, it's music heavy, and we believe that, you know, that's one of the bigger drivers for selling tickets, which is important to sustain an event like this. But it felt like the world probably has enough music festivals, or at least the way we understand them now. And this was an opportunity to do something multidisciplinary. We have a mentalist featured highly, a guy named Scott Sylvan from Scotland. We have a couple film events with some of the lead cast members of Napoleon Dynamite will be there. We'll have a screening of that film. Everyone here, I'm sure, knows Officer and a Gentleman was filmed on site at Fort Worden, and we're going to do a live read of that with some special guests filling the lead role.
So anybody we've heard of?
Yes, but we're going to leave it
That's fine. I mean,
a surprise and delight.
Okay, I'll keep pounding that line. Anybody who was in the movie?
No.
Okay.
No. We can confirm that much.
Okay.
And there's some live podcasts and some stand-up comedy, some readings. There's a night market. Dance Church is a participatory dance event. So all this would add up to something that would feel hopefully fresh and unique and in the spirit of Port Townsend.
And how many people can participate in this thing? I mean, how many? What's the audience capacity?
5,000 per day.
5,000 per day. So 10,000 people, and some of them will be overlapped.
Yes. Yes.
And do you have any idea of, to use the dirty word, demographic of these people that you're trying to attract? Who's going to come?
Well, we hope a wide demographic, and we do. I think we have access to some of the demographics via the ticket buyer data and all that. The truth is, we won't know until it's happening.
So you don't have any goal to target a certain segment of the population or anything like that? It's just anybody who's turned on by the idea?
I think we want to be really wide-reaching and again, appeal to, you know, the broad Port Townsend arts community tradition here, and also serve Jefferson and Clallam County as well. Being family-friendly has been really important to us from the get-go. And so it's important for us to remind people that Thing is free for people who are 13 years and younger. And so we're very much hoping to attract families and encourage our young people to come and experience arts and, you know, discover things that may be new to them, but old to, say, Adam and I, like De La Soul or Violent Femmes. But at the same time, there's lots of newer artists like Tank and the Bangas that we think lots of people will dig.
Well, so how are we on ticket sales? How many have we sold? How much is available now?
We're about 80% sold at this point, which we feel great about. Mm-hmm. There's only 2-day tickets left. We open with, you could either buy single day or 2-day. And we had to cut off the number of single days to allow a balance of how many tickets are sold on each day. Yeah, so we feel fantastic about that. We're putting some extra focus on making sure that a lot of those tickets end up in with people in the peninsula who want to go. And we have some ticket outlets in downtown Port Townsend at Quimper and Velocity Coffee. So yeah, that's how it's going. We're feeling good.
Okay, and one of the biggest questions I'm hearing is, you know, how are you going to handle all the people and where are they going to park? My snotty answer is we take 30,000 people a year on the Wooden Boat Festival. So so this is a bit less. But the question remains is how are you going to accommodate this influx? Where are they going to stay? Where are they going to park?
Yeah. So we've secured the Jefferson County Fairgrounds for a great deal of our parking and a campground. So there's already a campground there. We've expanded it greatly for this event. So that's the primary parking and camping will happen there. Of course, people are resourceful and can find Airbnbs and hotels and all that as well. And I think things are starting to fill up. We're going to learn exactly what an event like this with 5,000 people, what it does to the town. But we're putting great efforts into planning and doing a lot of listening to make sure it's as low impact as it can be.
So the single day tickets obviously are people who don't expect to stay for both days.
Sure. Right.
Is there a schedule where, you know, if I want to see De La Soul, do I know what day they're going to play?
Yes, yes. And that's on the website, which is thingnw.org. Mm-hmm.
I heard that there was going to be a local stage where local musicians could play. How does one get on that program?
That's not true.
Oh, okay. It's not true.
But it's also a good idea that I kind of wish had occurred to us earlier to include even more Port Townsend talent since there's so much creative energy out here. But we are adding some additional things like some members of Nanda and the world's best jugglers, the Karamazov brothers, are going to join us out there for some of the night market activities. And there's quite a bit of sight art happening, and there are a lot of Port Townsend people involved in that.
There's this cool thing called, what is it, the Illuminarium?
Oh, yeah. We haven't talked about that. There's a giant inflatable structure called the Luminarium. It's kind of better if people just show up and experience it, but it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a giant inflatable structure that you can explore, and then it lights up at night and kind of takes on a whole different character at night, and there's an ambient soundtrack happening in it, and pretty cool environment.
I was just thinking that this Luminarium is kind of in a similar spirit as the Kinetic, what is it called?
Kinetic Sculpture Festival.
Kinetic Sculpture Festival. And it's perfect in that spirit.
So Seattle Theater Group, I was looking you guys up, and it's like every show in the world, you're all-encompassing in terms of local entertainment, but you're also a nonprofit. Can you tell me how that works?
Absolutely. So we're intentionally diverse in our programming. Our vision is to be the people's theaters, and we're trying to develop programming that will serve the widest possible interests throughout the region. And the region also includes Jefferson and Clallam counties. It's important for people to understand also, though, that we're very dedicated to producing education and community programs. We spend today about $3 million each year on producing these programs. And it's our hope, it's our intent here that thing will evolve into something that builds community here through the arts and be additive already to the great arts tradition that is throughout this region.
So ticket prices are generally high. I mean, you look at, yeah, those of us in my generation like to say, whoa, I saw the Who for $9.
Yeah. Yeah,
but ticket prices are pretty high these days. What do you have to do to motivate people to buy tickets and get off their couch and get away from Netflix and God, what else they're looking at home? How do you get people out?
It's a really good question. You know, by and large, as Adam mentioned earlier, people are responding so far really well here. But if we get up to a larger picture, I would just say that, yeah, there's a concern overall throughout our state that we want ticket prices to be as reasonable as possible so that all can participate. And it is a puzzle. So one of the things that we're working on, Seattle Theater Group, as well as lots of other organizations throughout the state, is this vision of turning Washington State into a top 10 funded arts and cultural community on a per capita basis from the state budget. Right now, it's sad to report that Washington State is number 44 in their arts funding on a per capita basis here in the U.S. I think we should be in the top 10. Once we get there, I believe organizations like Seattle Theater Group will have an easier time reducing prices and using more contributed revenue to fill the gap. We also, you know, coming in and producing something like Thing of this scale, we want to be careful about coming in and raising more contributed revenue from local resources that we know are also supporting other arts organizations today. We don't want to come in and complicate things. So I think Adam and the organization have done a really good job in making it priced as reasonably as possible today. And in the future, I'm hopeful that all of us could reduce the cost of participating in the arts. But again, I want to reference, it's free for people who are 13 and under.
Sure. But in a general sense, where tickets to see anybody, you know, could be in the hundreds of dollars. As a nonprofit, are you able to charge less, or do you have to charge at a market rate?
Well, I mean, to some degree, we're able to charge a bit less because, you know, we're raising $5-6 million each year on contributed revenue. However, at the same time, artists are now making most of their living, particularly musicians, from performing live. They don't have the same kind of resources coming in from record sales any longer. So I don't think they're being all that well paid from the streaming services. Great programmers like Adam are often in a puzzle because artists need to make a great living. And part of what drives the prices is what artists need to make. So it's a little bit of a much bigger puzzle here in our industry. Does that make sense to
you?
Sure.
And it's a kind of an... When you look at it that way, it's kind of an opportunity for the, you know, the artist has to get out there and perform and actually put on a good show. So the audience, you know, there's a motivation for you to go see live music from name brand people because you're going to see hopefully something unique and not just the same old stuff. I mean, maybe I'm being a little blue sky here.
No, I don't think you're being blue sky at all. But I do think it's so important that people support live performing arts and live music today. And you're right, it is expensive to participate. We're doing our best to keep it as reasonably priced as possible. And we also still want to support artists making a good living on the road.
This is KPTZ-FM. I'm Charlie Berman. This is Compass. I'm talking to Josh LaBelle and Adam Zaks. It's the brain trust behind Thing, which is coming up. It's August 24th and 25th. So, Adam, is this going to be an annual thing?
That's the intention. It does need to go well for us and for you all here in the region as well. So we're pretty focused just on executing really well this year and making everybody proud.
So why did Sasquatch, I don't know when you use the word die, but it went away.
It's know? Okay. Yeah.
It exceeded its natural life, perhaps. Or why did you shut it down? I guess.
Well, there's a long, boring, complicated answer, and there's a shorter one, and I think I'll stick to the shorter one. But it had a really good run is the short answer, and not everything in my mind needs to last forever or should necessarily. But on the broader scale in North America, festivals, I think, have reached a saturation point. At least festivals of that ilk. The proliferation of festivals since the time Sasquatch started 18 years ago to when it ended last year was incredible, which means the price of talent goes up astronomically. A lot of different festivals competing for the same talent, and consumers having many more options than they ever did.
And maybe I'm being self-centered, but I never went to Sasquatch because I wasn't going to drive 2 days. So, how does the location of Fort Worden, who's kind of in the Seattle metro area, how does that change things for you?
Well, I still think it's a little bit of both a barrier for some people and for other people that have a wanderlust and sense of adventure. It's a big attraction. And so on paper, a place like the Gorge Amphitheater where Sasquatch was, it's in the middle of nowhere. Like it shouldn't really work, but it does because it's such a magnificent setting, and the long drive and the effort it takes to get out there is actually a draw for a lot of people. And so there's some of that here for people. It's just a little easier to get to.
You are going to really cross over the 50th anniversary of the Woodstock Festival, and these guys are now struggling to do their whole event. Mm-hmm. I guess it's been canceled and uncanceled, and now they're looking for another location 6 weeks before the event, which is actually what they were doing in 1969.
Right.
But so what advice would you have to them, or what's your, maybe let's not put it this way, what's your observation of their predicament?
A few things. I would say these things are much harder than they look. Not to pat ourselves on the back, I'm just saying it's just not an easy thing to do. A lot of things have to come into place. So I feel for them and their situation, and I don't have enough insider knowledge to know what caused all of that. But I think they're also suffering from some of the things I mentioned about the demise of Sasquatch, which is and people aren't that impressed anymore by putting together, you know, 100 of the biggest names in showbiz and putting them out in the field. Like it's the cultural moment that happened with Woodstock, the original one, I think was maybe a once in a lifetime thing. And it can be a mistake to try and recreate that. And so I think they're struggling with that a little bit.
Yeah, I guess their subsequent festivals in 94 and 99 were kind of not as monumental. So they're doing a once in a lifetime thing, but what you're doing is more like a work in progress. It's like a magazine or something that comes out with different issues every year.
Sure, that's a cool way to look at it.
What does the public need to know about this?
Well, I would encourage people to go to our website and click on the different band names and just enjoy the experience of some music discovery. And if they choose to come to the event, show up early and catch those early bands. That one of the exciting things at Sasquatch is we developed a reputation for catching these artists early on the rise. And so sometimes a band will be playing, you know, they'll be the first band up on early in one of the small stages, and then a year or 2 years later, they're headlining the main stage. That's just the speed at which bands go up the chain these days. I think there's a couple we've identified that are part of Thing this year that fit that category, and it's already starting to happen. Like there's this guy, Orville Peck, who released a record on Sub Pop a couple months ago. I think it's maybe my favorite record of the year. He's getting so much worldwide press attention. He's, you know, and he's playing early in the day on Thing. I think by the time August rolls around, it's going to be a cool thing. People are going to want to say they saw that. And same for, there's an Irish band called Fontaines DC that I feel the same way about.
So going back to Woodstock in a quieter time where there were only so many records a year coming out and there were only so many bands to see, and you know, flash forward today, there's so much stuff out there mm-hmm. that Where do you start? I mean, so someone like myself, I just turned Medicare and I want to get into some new bands. Mm-hmm. How do I figure out what to listen to? It just seems like an insurmountable task to filter this.
Well, I think that's one of the cool things a festival like this can provide, is to sort of be a filter. If we earn the title of being a trusted source, a trusted filter, then you can look at a lineup like this, and there's a good starting point if you share our artistic sensibility, that is.
Sure. But there's still so many sources of music, so many bands. Geez, I can't imagine what it's like for a young band trying to get heard. I mean, there are opportunities. They can just post their music online. That's mm-hmm. a lot easier. But getting any kind of attention is tough.
Yeah, I think he's trying to ask us, how did Tank and the Bangas even get on our radar, right? And,
oh, yeah.
And I'm not sure I know the answer. I mean, I'll be honest. I've been a beneficiary of Adam's great curation, and I've learned to rely on his choices, both at STG programs and other places like Sasquatch. And I would encourage you, if listeners are feeling like you are, that this is the perfect festival for you to help navigate this and discover some new stuff, whether it's music or, you know, a theater artist like Scott Sylvan. I think you're going to be pretty surprised and blown away.
So you had John Riley's band in a past Sasquatch.
And that is John C. Riley, the actor. But when he performs as a musician, he likes to disco by John Riley. But he just turned out to be a really special individual. He did perform at Sasquatch one year and then came back and brought his family with him. And we made a nice connection. That guy wears a lot of different hats, literally, actually. He's just a fascinating person. And when I shared with him that we were going to be doing this new event, he jumped on board before we can even really ask him. So that was really motivating, actually, that someone of his stature was interested in and trusting in us that we're going to come up with something fun and different.
And any other Sasquatch veterans?
The comedian Todd Barry has been out several times. Jeff Tweedy has been out with his band Wilco. I'm sure there's more here. I'm just
Did Kurt Vile ever play Sasquatch?
Oh, Kurt Vile has. Yeah. Casper Baby Ant Pants, the children's performer, has performed at Sasquatch with his band, the Presidents of the United States. Yeah.
Right.
Cafe Tacuba is a fabulous addition to this lineup, I think. And they did a performance at the Moore Theater 9 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was an extraordinary, extraordinary performance. And I think that's going to be one of the bands that I'm really most looking forward to.
Okay, well, we were listening here to Josh LaBelle and Adam Zaks of the Seattle Theater Group. They are the brains behind Thing, the Thing Festival, the first annual, presumably, Thing Festival. That is August 24th and 25th this year at Fort Worden. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us, and thank you for listening to The Compass.
This week's KPTZ Compass was produced by Alex Henley. For the news team here at KPTZ, 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm David Cunningham.